Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I want to mention something, because you see today people protesting, saying that we will not comply. We will not comply. And people go, "Whoa, what's wrong with them? What are they doing? They just need to conform. They need to line up with everyone else. If they would just move with the crowd, things will be much better." And in some cases, if the crowd's going in the right direction, it's correct. But did you know that we, as the church, are called to be nonconformists? We're called to be nonconformists.
Right.
But it seems like everywhere you look, things that you're seeing, things that you're hearing be taught, it's just like, it's all these ways how to conform. How to be like the world. Mm-hmm. How to integrate with the world. How to integrate the world into you. But Paul was writing to the church in Rome, and you can read it in his 12th chapter in his letter. It's the 12th chapter. And he says, he's talking to us, the church, in verse 1 and verse 2. He says, "I urge you, brothers." And what's he talking to? He's talking to us. He says, "I urge you, in view of God's mercy, thank God for his mercy," which means not getting what we deserve when we don't do it well, but we're trying to do it.
That's right.
"I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." If you look at the word sacrifice in the Greek, the word victim is what you find. You find victim. Mm-hmm. And so somebody says, "Well, I just feel like a victim. You know, I just go serve God. I do what's right. And people take advantage of me." It's like, oh my goodness, you're doing it. You're moving in your
you
call
got it.
To suffer for doing good.
That's right.
To this you were called, right? Mm-hmm. So Peter said.
That's right.
And he says, "To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy," which means separating yourself from that which separates you from God, mm-hmm. "holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship." So taking our bodies and doing what God says with our bodies is a form of worship, or is worship to God. Mm-hmm. This is our spiritual act of worship is not a song. It's you obeying the words in that song. You know, it's not just reading the word. It's actually doing what the word says. And then he goes on and says this, and this is where he tells us not to be conform, to be nonconformist. He says in verse 2, he says, "Do not conform." Do not conform. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. I will not comply. Mm-hmm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before the fiery furnace, bow down before this idol. We will not comply. We will not conform. Yes, everybody's bowing down, Nebuchadnezzar, but we're not going to bow down. We're not going to do it. He says, "Do not conform any longer," which means we were at one time, but now that we found God and we're being discipled and learning his ways, we repented from what we used to do, turning to the ways of God. Any longer, we're not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. "Do not conform any longer to the patterns, this culture, this way of doing things, the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that word mind in the Greek is soul, which is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. "I think I want to feel. I think I want to feel. I think I want to feel." People get up in the morning and they go, "You know what? I think I want. I feel." Yeah. All day long, "I think I want. Oh, and I feel." And it's like all day long, they're driven by their souls. Mm. But what we're supposed to do is take our soul and transform it and have it to submit to the ways of God. And that is our form of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We say, "I'm not going to comply anymore to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul or your mind." He says, "Then you'll be able to test and know what God's will is, his good and his pleasing and perfect will." Listen, the church, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be separate from the world. No, we're not supposed to be hid out somewhere in some foreign whatever, but we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You should be able to look at the church and say, they're not like the other. There's something about them that's different. I mean, they're not ridiculing me. They're not condemning me. But when they're around, they're just not like everybody else. They're different. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else says, hey, let's just do this because the world always does this. And all of a sudden you go, I'm not going to participate in that. That's called being a nonconformist.
Right.
Not conforming. And so you look at the world and it's like, you look at television and you look at the church and it's like, which one's where, what's happening? Do you get your scripts for what you tell God's people from the scripts of writers in a back room who write a television show? What are you doing? What? Why would you do that? We're called to be nonconformists. Listen, it ain't working anyway. I mean, if what you're doing right now, is it changing your life? Is it changing their life? I mean, we have ministers that are partnering with the rebellion that's in the heart of children while parents are trying to raise their children. And the parents are literally at war with a person who calls himself a minister who's dividing their child from their parent, agreeing with their sin. We're supposed to be nonconformists. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we just sit here and watch junk all day long in our mind, that's what we're going to become. Whatever you see is what you're going to become. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing is a media-driven church that they watch media and they actually become what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And you start thinking it's normal when it's not normal.
Right.
It's important to check yourself. You know, and realize, even though you think it's normal, it might not be normal. And if you find out it's not normal, it's what God wants. You go, listen, God, I'm sorry. It's not normal.
That's right.
But right here, you got to see this, man. This is, I'm going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. You can get to it at VFNTV.com. But you have these churches, these gatherings, and they call themselves their ministering, and how they're going to get the attention of people in their church is they're going to take, they're taking peanut butter in front of all these teenagers and all these kids, and they're taking this peanut butter and they wipe it in a bare armpit man. And then he takes the peanut. This is like what are you, this is not, this may be some reality show somewhere, but this is not the church.
Uh-uh.
And you're not winning their kids over by acting like some. And then he takes the peanut butter. He takes two slices of bread, or one of them takes two slices of bread, scrapes it off the person's armpit, makes a sandwich with it, and eats it in front of the kids in the church. In the church, you got to see this.
What you do is you spread it. You spit. Oh.
You understand? He's wiping peanut butter in the armpit in front of all these kids at a gathering of believers, Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hearing them react. You're hearing the kids react and the young people react. Of him, he's lifting his arm up and they're wiping peanut butter in his armpit. It's like, what? It doesn't even go on a grid. Mm-mm. But the thing about it goes on a grid of perversion is what it goes on in regards to this. But look at this.
All around the hair, right?
He's taking this stuff and he's rubbing, now he's closing, pulling his arm down and he's rubbing the peanut butter in his arm, the person who got it put on him. I mean, listen to this thing.
Look at this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay. I think I'm going to vomit. Actually, yeah. That's going to happen now. Right there. A little bit more there.
That's disgusting.
Great. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now.
So now you walks away, the guy that was sitting here doing this in front of all these kids. The parents sit there. Think about it. You're sending your kid.
You think your kid is sitting there getting taught the word of God.
Right, exactly. And now what's happening to him, this is what's happening.
Mm.
You know, to your cut.
Mm-hmm.
Your teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
who desperately needs God.
Yeah. You know, and
like we all
and this is what's happening. And so he walks away. Now, this guy has, there's two guys. This one guy just rubbed peanut butter in his armpit, and the other person, the other guy's got it in his armpit.
Right.
And listen up.
Put this on the other pit. Yeah, you're going to put that on every pit at least 18 times a day. And then
18 times?
That might take care of your odor.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, hey, Doc.
Yeah. What time is it?
It's about 12:30. What?
Oh, great. Can you have a seat, please? Could you have one more seat just for a second?
Okay.
What I'm going to do is it's lunchtime.
I'm going to
go ahead.
What
you do at lunchtime is you take it.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome. He just sat there, took his hand, the one who put the peanut butter there. The guy lifted his arm up. The man scrapes the peanut butter. This is in what they call the church. Scrapes it out of his armpit and then sticks it in his mouth.
Wow.
I'm telling you, this is, I know you're seeing it on TV, but it's not supposed to happen in the context of the gathering of the church. We got to learn how to be separate. We're supposed to be nonconformist. Yeah, you might be seeing this at some, I guess, you're seeing it in some, maybe some television show or something, I would guess. And then, you know, but don't imitate that. Don't imitate that. And this is, you're not winning. It's just disgusting. One thing that encourages me here in front of these hundreds of young people is this adult. Look at this one adult. He gets up and he's literally repulsed and he walks away. First of all, why did you let it happen in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Secondly, I'm glad somebody was repulsed to what was going on right there. This is not normal. This is not the way things are supposed to be. We're supposed to be nonconformists. We have to find out. Listen, somebody says, well, you know, church is boring. Well, first of all, there's two definitions of that. One is what you think is the church is not the church. And yeah, of course it's boring. It's religion.
Right.
The other is it's boring to you because you're not a believer.
Hello?
It doesn't make sense to you. You're blinded to what's going on. It's foolishness to you because you don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But don't sit there and turn the church into an unbelieving behavior because you have an unbeliever saying they're bored with it.
Right.
Help them get born again or quit forcing them to fellowship with believers when they're not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is what it turns into.
Whatever you use to bring them in is what you're going to have to use to keep them. And if you're trying to entertain their flesh and they don't even know God, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, it's something that I say often is, you know, has the church gone Hollywood? It's like you can't use television programs or movies and think that it's all about entertaining young people.
Mm-hmm.
What our young people need more than anything is God. In this time, what they're facing and what is coming in this country and what they have to deal with more things in their generation right now, this present generation, than any adult probably has ever had to live with in their lifetime. But, and you're going to spend that 45 minutes spreading peanut butter.
But they should not have had that encounter with a minister. That should not have happened with somebody who's supposedly supposed to lead them in the things of God, a servant of Christ.
Right.
You know, shouldn't lead them in that. And then they not only do they have that, and we're going to talk about this. This is just one part of what's going on. To get in. Now they're taking, in addition to that, this is just some of the things that are going on.
Mm.
And this is supposedly the church coming together. Remember, do you read the Bible again? You know, 19% is the only ones that read the Bible according to George Barna anyway.
Right.
Only 3% are concerned about what it says in regards to themselves on the context of God's map and his word. But just you'll find out that this is all behaviors that come from carnality and flesh. It's like giving ourselves over to our flesh. We're looking for things that make our flesh feel good. You know, that's entertaining to me, my flesh, and all this different stuff. But we're supposed to deny ourselves, pick up a cross, and follow the Lord. It's not that we don't have a good time, but good time is spelled differently in God.
That's right.
It's not about humiliating the human being. It's not about doing perverse things. It's about a holiness and a set apartness to God. But now they're even taking, and it's like, what are you, I don't understand. There's nothing else you could do? And somebody says, well, you know, they were bored. You know, I tried teaching them and they got bored. So now what some of them are doing, they're taking baby diapers, and they're putting chocolate pudding in the diapers, and they're imitating the eating of feces. And they're having a contest that who can eat the feces, the what looks like feces in this diaper the fastest.
Right.
It's foolishness.
Well, it's actually Baal worship. Feces has to do with, all this stuff has to do with carnality. It has to do that, you know, part of feces was part of the Baal worship that they would use. And so it's like we're so blinded to what's going on that all this stuff, you know, Baal's prophets, when you look at them, they cut themselves. They did all these different things we're seeing manifested in our culture, what's happening. But look what they're getting in the church. I'm going to look. Look at this. You're looking at children set up across a stage in a gathering, in a camp, where you're sending your kids like, oh, I hope that Susie goes to the camp and she finds God. You know, we really want Susie to be saved. We want our daughter to be saved. We want our son to be saved. Let's just send them to the Christian camp. Let's send them to the Christian camp. And now, I mean, you're looking at this video right here. Now you have a man in a suit while you have children walking back and forth, and you would think outside of them eating this poop in a diaper that it looks like a minister walking across the stage. But the problem is you have all these kids now covered with a face that looks like feces on their face eating from a baby's diaper and seeing that as normal. But this is happening in the church. This is happening. And somebody says, oh, that's boring. One or two things that's going on. One is you think you're in the church and you're not. Second thing is you're not a believer. And the message of the cross is foolishness to you. And you're hanging around for the benefits. But the reason why it's boring for you is because you don't know Jesus. But if you know Jesus, you don't need to bungee jump no more. If you obey God, you live on the edge of excitement.
That's right.
You see, faith is about believing God for big things, and it's not what is this? What is this? But you know, you have to understand it. I'm talking about we're going all the way with this and understanding that listen, that you have gatherings where the church is coming together, and you can't tell the American flag away from the Christian cross. You know, which one's which? Which did all of a sudden Christianity conform to America, or did America conform to Christianity, or why is the flag in the place of worship? And I understand. I'm not saying I'm glad to be an American, all that. But I understand that the flag came because of Christians going after God, not going after a country. Yeah, the pilgrims coming to America, they wanted a freedom. They broke loose from the king so they could worship God, not so they could have a country of their own. They had to have a country. It was a byproduct of people. They had to have a country. And what came later on after Christians worshiped God freely was a country and a constitution that allowed them to worship God freely. But don't put the flag over the cross. You're not going to have the flag. And you're hearing things like, you know, this party's God's party. What do you... You've conformed to the patterns of this culture. That's not, you know, what are we doing? We're looking, we look like the world. We act like the world. Just Paul says, he says, listen, what's wrong with you guys? Well, you're acting like the world. You're shaming the Lord and how you're acting between each other. You're taking your brother to court. Why not be wrong? Why not somebody take advantage of you? Find somebody that's low amongst you and have them judge over you. I'm saying this to your shame. What is going on with you?
That's right.
Let me tell you what's going on. You're gathering them by their flesh. You're preaching to them a carnal message, and you're wearing yourself out coming up with new carnal ideas. So you turn to the thing that they turn to, which is media, to relate to them instead of turn to God. Well, if I preach the gospel, then I'll get fired because they told me my job as a youth minister is to keep these kids entertained.
That's right. Babysit them.
Because if their kids get upset, then this man who gives money to this organization will be gone.
Wow.
It's like, we can't worship God together because we can't stand each other. Mm-hmm. So you go to a neurologist, podiatrist, you know, a neurosurgeon. You go to a woman's ministry, a men's ministry, a children's ministry, and you divide the whole thing up because they can't stand to be together. And you wonder what's going on. And the closest, nicest thing they said to each other was something they posted back and forth on their Facebook when they have no relationship at all.
Right.
Zero, right.
But they want to give the impression that they have one. To me, freaky.
Very.
But to the world, it'll do.
All right.
The image does. What have we done? We've conformed. What? You know, I just want to get along with God or the world.
That's right.
Friendship with the world is an enemy of God. Listen, the reason why church ain't making sense to you, because it ain't making sense to God, you know? Church is about Jesus Christ. It's about him and him only and the advancement of his kingdom. It's about a God who loves you so much that he gave his life for you, that you would leave your life of sin. It's about giving wholeheartedly every part of you to him. And even though you fell and you make a mistake, you love him and you want to make it right. And it has nothing to do with you and what you want and all your carnal ideas. And listen, sir, and your big jar of peanut butter and your Pampers and your pudding, you need to leave. You need to repent.
I know that's right.
I mean, I think it's a travesty. You need to start preaching holiness. You need to say, you know, I want to be holy myself. Make the decision. Say, you know, God, I'm going to walk. And you'll be really surprised, by the way, if you haven't been to the ramp, with Karen Wheaton's ministry, you'll be surprised. Kids want holiness. They want the opposite of that.
That's right.
They want somebody to be honest with them. Now, every kid's not. Every adult's not. But you're not trying to get everybody in the world. You're just trying to find out who wants God. And whoever wants him, you want to be able to baptize them and lead them in the ways of God and launch them in the purposes of God. If you quit trying to get everybody and just look for the ones that want him, then it won't be as hard.
That's right. Looking for a crowd.
You're going to have to leave that thing they call a church that's living to satisfy, you know, the Jezebelic stronghold in the thing that if you don't make so-and-so happy, it ain't going to work, you know, or we're going to lose this or lose that. Jezebel controls you by what she gives you.
Right.
You may have to do that. But you know what? It's better to be faithful with one than be a fool with 100. You're going to have to answer for that. You cannot blame, by the way. Let me tell you something, young minister. You're not going to be able to blame standing before the throne of God and blame what you did before the throne of God on some board of directors, on, quote, some senior pastor, unquote. I mean, you have to stand alone for that. Now, we all make mistakes and we all err and we're not perfect, but you can stop that. And if you get fired because you do what's right, celebrate that. This is what we're called to do. But you know what they're going to find out? They're going to find out what, you know, what we found out. I remember when we were part of the outpouring at Brownsville Revival, that it started with the young people. It started with the children. And they began to wail for the adults. And they began to get visions of hell and all that was going on. They began to cry out and fall under the power of God. And it began with the children. And the children... The children, God used the children to usher in something so powerful, so filled with the love of God that it swept across the world. If you tell young people the truth, you're going to find out the truth about them. You'll find out the ones that look you square in the eye and say, I don't want a part of God. But you'll also find other ones that say, oh my goodness. And the purity and the desire of a young person who goes after God, there's nothing like it.
Right.
But we can't wrap the cross and the flag while we're thinking, why? Is the Japanese flag, do we wrap that around the flag? Or how about the German flag? And how about the Venezuelan flag? How about that? You know, how about, hey, Israel's flag. I mean, if you're going to wrap any flag around the cross, wouldn't you? Come on, what are you doing? Now, if you folded the flag up and you placed it at the foot of the cross, that is what will save this nation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll quit conforming to this world and try and have everything morph to what we want it to be and lay all of our lives, all of our dreams, all of what we went the wrong way with at the foot of the cross, including America, the God just may forgive our sins, kill our land, and help us keep our nation. We have been given proof positive, a constitution that allows us to be nonconformist. It allows us right now. I don't know how much longer we have it, but it says in the First Amendment, you do not have to conform.
Right.
There's no excuse. And listen, we're going to have to answer for this because there's no excuse in America. We did not have to conform. During this 250 years, we didn't have to conform. We could stand up and just say what we feel God is leading us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do it now. We don't have to conform. You know, I'm looking at clothes and I'm thinking, man, I like that shirt. And that shirt is like, oh, it's so nice. And I've seen a lot of believers wearing this particular brand of clothes because it's kind of like artistic and all these different designs to it. And it just looked really sharp. And, you know, and it's called South Pole. And I thought, well, that's kind of nice. And I found one when I was in Tennessee. And I thought, I put that thing on. And all of a sudden, I think I'm going to get me some more of those shirts. And I was going to order them. And I took the shirt and looked at the tag for the first time. Well, Donna was looking at the shirt. My wife, she's looking at it. And she says, something's not right with that shirt. I'm like, oh, you're just messing it. And she just sensed it in her spirit. Something wasn't right. And when I looked at my shirt and pulled the tag off, or looked at the tag, it's made from a company called Wicked Fashions. Two guys out of Queens, New York. Wicked Fashions. Make South Pole. And so you see the South Pole jeans and the South Pole shirts and the South Pole jackets. The tag on the back, it's Wicked Fashions. I don't care if it's the prettiest thing in the world, and that's what you're seduced by. If you're seduced by something, it's something that's really attractive to you. If it's from wickedness, if it says Wicked Fashions, I mean, create your own brand and call it Holy Fashions.
Right.
But don't wear Wicked Fashions. And it's like we're conforming to the patterns of this world. I'm like, took the thing off? I don't think so. And I laid it with shock and thinking how many people that call themselves believers and youth pastors and ministers are wearing Wicked Fashions.
And it doesn't faze them.
But the thing is we become like the world. But if we humble ourselves, if we pray, listen, sin is sin. Wrong is wrong and right is right. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And somebody might be just a little bit ahead of you on the path of repentance, but everybody's taking the same road. Understand this. Don't base the truth that you preach and adjust it based off people's responses. Don't change your message. Change your audience, including if you're at a 5,000 member gathering place and nobody wants to hear the truth about Jesus. You finish preaching it, let them fire you, put your transition package in, and you go find the people who will. You have not been called to an occupation. We've been called to minister the truth of God. Every one of us have been called to minister the truth of God. This is not about your J-O-B. Go get you one of those. This is about sharing the truth of God to mankind, preaching the kingdom of God. And then the end would come. We are called to be nonconformists.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.